Number one is to fight fear and doubt in evangelism. Now, how can it fight fear and doubt in evangelism, your own personal story?
It's a statement of faith worked out.
Yes, it is. It is a statement of faith that's worked out. How else? Yes.
No one can deny like your personal testimony, something that has like happened to you, and so there's confidence of like I saw God with my own eyes, mm-hmm. my own heart do this.
Yes. Thank you for sharing. Even the story of Georgie Benz, like the boldness that he had in us was because of the work that God had already done in him. Yes.
From our Spurgeon, it was just a reminder of the lack of theatrics around it, and so it was obviously God who did the work mm-hmm. against all the odds.
Because it was, like his was it, if I'm trying to remember Spurgeon, because it was like too far away to get to the church he had planned to go to, and there was a snowstorm, so he just went to the closest one. Was
the preacher wasn't even there. Some guy just stood up and
just some lay leader because the preacher was sick or something like that. So some lay leader who wasn't educated.
They even said he was stupid.
Yeah. People complained about the and here he comes stumbling in, and this guy just talks about turning and looking to Jesus, right? Specifically, look to Jesus, and God used that. So like, you don't have to be a great orator or this profound, you know, PhD type to do evangelism and share your testimony. So there's no fear in that.
So it's interesting because it's a reminder that God did the work in you and he will also do the work in someone else.
Yes, that God will do the work in you. So even as you're thinking through, like, your own story, because God worked in you, that God can work in the same ways.
In Spurgeon, the guy actually was ignorant. I mean, they called him stupid, but he stuck to the text. Mm-hmm. That's the key, I think, is stick to the Word of God. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 3 said, God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Mm-hmm. Not many wise, not many powerful, not many strong were called. It's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I beg to differ with you. Your testimony is not the gospel. Well, because of the gospel, I have a testimony. If it wasn't for the gospel, I would not have a testimony. Therefore, my testimony is personally applied because of what Jesus has done in my life, and he can do. I tell people in the book, especially John wrote with me, hundreds of examples to give. People ask me questions. So the gospel is you, because you accepted that gospel in the power of the cross.
You become a living testimony.
The story of Jesus is bigger than me. Yeah, so that's what we're just trying to mention, is that the story of Jesus is bigger than his own work in us. That when Jesus did a great work, he did a great work well beyond anything that happened in my own heart.
Amen.
So it's when we say that the testimony, just sharing, oh, Jesus did a great work in my life, does not call the person you're sharing with to repentance. So that's why it is not the gospel. And we'll get to it in just a moment to continue on with that. But I'll hold that thought because we'll get to more of it in a moment. So it does. It fights fear and doubt in evangelism. So because think about this. Praise God that the person who shared the gospel with you didn't cower in fear, but was brave enough to speak the truth in love to you. So praise God that the person who shared with you did not fear. So even that poor little gentleman that got up and spoke that night, that Spurgeon happened to stumble in. Another story that I wasn't able to get all copied for you was Dwight Moody. D.L. Moody, because his was a Sunday school teacher that didn't feel, he just felt like this kid was always in the back causing trouble and was always trying to get out right away. So he actually tracked him down and found where he was working, because he was working at a shoe stop, like a cobbler making shoes. And so the Sunday school teacher went and found him and said, hey, you need Jesus. And Moody, you know, that changed his life. Because he was making a fortune making shoes. So he gave that up. So that's just one of the things. Like, praise the Lord for these stories. So even in my own soul, the Sunday school teacher that happened to do a vacation Bible school and talking about Jesus and the need for salvation. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even remember who the person was.
Yeah.
But just because they took the time to do a vacation Bible school. Because sometimes like, vacation Bible school is way too much work. Yeah. We don't know what this, you know. And I'm like, well, There's more to it sometimes than you think. So remember that the reasons to share your testimony is to fight fear, doubt, and vandalism, and to encourage other Christians to share the gospel. So even in the testimony, like Georgie Ben's, if you get a chance to read it, you can grab one of the copies from these guys if you want to. Even in that one, to encourage other Christians to share the gospel. Like hearing testimonies, like even as we do with membership up front, like it's super encouraging of how God has worked in the hearts and lives of people. Mm-hmm. And even people you know in your own life, like a total turnaround when they come to salvation, or just incredible stories of God's grace, whether they were little kids, all the way through adults, and different things. So, because I've heard many of your stories for membership, and it's just amazing. Every time I get super excited about it. So it's super encouraging to share your testimony and stuff. So even in your small group and things like that. One of the ideas for those of you that do the small groups here is to actually ask for the testimonies of the people in your small group if you haven't heard it. Like, because unfortunately, you know, because I joined at a certain time, so I've heard a lot of you that have joined after, you know, here at the church, but then there's a lot of you that joined well before me, and I haven't gotten the chance to hear your stories. So it's just a great way to encourage each other in good news. And then it's also to steer conversations with unbelievers towards the good news and to bear witness to its truth in your life. So is for an example, then when you're, because I've talked about this, like as you're sharing, if you share, you know, somebody says, hey, what did you do this weekend? Oh, I went and heard a great sermon, and I was just really touched, and I needed to repent. And this is, let me tell you about it. Like, that's, when they ask, what did you do this weekend? That's usually a really good, I mean, most of the time they'll look at you crazy, like. I have one small advantage because I'm the chaplain in my company or in my unit, military unit, so they just expect me to talk about Jesus, which makes it a little bit easier, I guess. So that kind of helps in that sense to be like, oh, this is great. But then when you do, like, oh, God did this great work in my life, and as in even in Georgie's story, maybe it didn't get it into the printed one that you have, but even there when he was sharing these things, he would talk about what was happening to him, but then he's like, but you can have this also. Like, you can have the peace and the rest that I have, and let me tell you about it. So that's kind of one of the things, yes.
David, one of the aspects of Georgie Vins is he was imprisoned as a Christian, but they had placed him in a cell with other murderers, hoping that those murderers would kill Georgie. They found out he had a Gospel of Mark, and the hunger in their own souls made them each vie for getting that Gospel of Mark. They got it, and they themselves started reading the Gospel. So the first person to share the Gospel was the Word of God itself, as these unbelievers read that, and they were all very convicted.
Yes.
And I love that Word has its own power.
Yes.
I will say, you have a job that leads itself to say the gospel, but I do think, I feel like I'm kind of in the same boat in a sense of when I find out, oh, you're a pastor, a pastor's wife. Mm-hmm. Like, of course you're going to say that. And so I think and then the wall comes down, and then they, you know, whatever. But when everybody has all these kind of jobs or students, whatever, how much more, it doesn't seem like you're only doing it because this is
Right. Whatever.
It's God has changed your life. You're just like everybody else. And so I think that is an opportunity that is really great to embrace, even though it's kind of scary.
It is. It's definitely scary. Like, and I think that's why I really included the Georgie Ben story, is because these guys were standing there ready to kill him when he walked in. And so then he just started telling them what he was doing. It's great. Good. Other thoughts, questions, good news? Good news and bear witness to the truth in your life. So tapping our testimonies to point unbelievers to Jesus. So how do we use our testimonies? We'll talk about that a little bit, but go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verses 4 through, so the story is 4 through 42, but go ahead and take a look first at, if we could have somebody read 28 and 29. Jordan?
Yeah. So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" Just through 29.
Yeah. And so she. So the story is Jesus goes to the well with the woman comes and he asks her for water and he offers her living water. And so then they have a dialogue and Jesus knows everything about her. And so she is like, I got to tell people about this. So she takes off, and her only testimony is, "Come see the man who told me everything I've ever done." And she goes and gets people and says, you know, tells her testimony of this interaction she has with Jesus, right? And then what does she do with it in verses 39 through 42, another reader.
Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word.
Good. So what happens is she goes and she says, "Come see this guy," and she takes them to Jesus. So her testimony gets her attention, but then she takes him and says, "Here's the message, Jesus himself." And gives Jesus the opportunity to share. So a lot going on in this passage, the way that Jesus goes against societal and religious standards, willing to enter this conversation with this woman. He reveals the woman's heart and reveals her sin. And in the way, in mercy, he holds himself out to her as the fountain of life. He also affirms God's revealed will for the nations. So first, the woman testifies to others about her. Is that one of your blanks?
Yeah.
It is, yes. So the woman testifies to others about her experience with Christ, and then she points them to Jesus, and she takes them to Jesus specifically. So this is the only, like when we're talking about sharing our testimony, the goal is to take them to Jesus. Because if you just tell your story in our postmodern Western civilization, it would be like, "Oh, that's nice for you. Let me tell you what I did this weekend." You know, that's the normal thing. But the goal is to point them to Jesus. So our testimony is not about us at all. And that's what that's our kind of our framework and stuff that we're working on. When we tell our testimonies, we don't want to make it about us. And the goal is not us. The goal is Christ. We bring glory to Christ when we're sharing our testimonies. So even when we do it in membership testimonies and things like that, when we're just sharing with the people around us at work, "Oh, let me tell you what happened this," you know, when they ask, "Well, let me tell you about what happened to me this weekend," and just praise the Lord for his work. Or, "I had to repent because of God's grace in my life because of this sin or that sin." Because even if they hear you say that, like, "Oh, what does that mean? Like, what is repentance?" And that's just a word that is definitely not out there in life. So those are some of the things that we can do with it. So make sure we get through in the last few.
I don't know if it's helpful, but actually it was a really sweet time. We went to a tractor show, and I was asking this man about his restoration of a giant hay lift. And in about 3 sentences, he got to the gospel and shared, like, his testimony, and then, like, the legit gospel with me. And, sorry, I'm not usually, I don't cry in public, but here, I'm making a habit. When it comes to this topic, to go, like, if I hadn't been born into this family, and if I hadn't heard the gospel in all of these other scenarios that God brought about. Like, if I'd just been an ordinary person going through life, would it have ever crossed my path? And I've never had that happen before. So it was interesting because I was trying to initiate a gospel conversation and it beat me to it. So anyway, I didn't quite cry. But I had 2 complete strangers and they shared the gospel with me and I was like, never stop. Like, that is so important. I've never had that happen in my life ever. Anyway, but it was just super encouraging because it was clear and concise, and he used how a friend had confronted him about his like, maybe I'm in good standing with God, maybe I've tried hard enough, and he turned it and actually shared the gospel, and then, like, confronted me with that pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. But it was in fewer than 5 minutes, and we started talking about a tractor, and I was like...
That's impressive.
It was, like, it was so beautiful. But anyway, even if you accidentally witness to a Christian...
Yeah,
it's super uplifting.
Because well, I think he, using the restored tractor, like, becoming made new, because he had restored this. It was a 1920s, like, 80, you know, so it was a huge contraption. That
That's awesome.
Fantastic. Thank you for sharing there. So a general framework for sharing your personal testimonies, and so this is kind of just the questions I have here, and this is just something to think through as you're just out and about daily life. To remember these things. What was your life like before? No one is born a Christian. So what was your life like before? Whether you were a young person, a child, whether you were, sinned widely and publicly, brag about your sin. It's like when you're telling a story, don't brag about your sin. But if you sin widely and publicly, don't minimize it. Instead, this is the place where you talk about how you were set apart from Christ. You were away from Christ. And then how you came to repent of your sins and believe in the gospel. Some people seemingly have a less dramatic conversion, but there is a point where I was not saved, and there's a point where I do believe in Jesus and I trust in Jesus. So that point of you repent and believe in the gospel. And then what is your life like then since knowing Christ, ever since then? So in your testimonies, like Spurgeon, so Brainerd is a good one. He's a lot in his own mind when he's walking through this, but he describes doing everything out of duty and just a drudgery. Being a Christian was a drudgery to him. But then after his conversion and repentance, then his whole story becomes a completely different thing. Even though the problems stayed with him his entire life, his illnesses, his sickness, and everything that he kind of deals with in his mind there, his mental state stays with him his entire life, but the way he looks at it is completely different. And then how the person you're sharing with can have the same experience. Like, how the person you're sharing with can have the same experience. So this is a good one, because you say, like, I've talked about Jesus, and be like, oh, well, I'm too far gone for Jesus to do anything. And I've said, like, several times, like, well, me too. I thought I was too far gone. Let me tell you about it. So that one's a pretty common one. So then some of the homework that we have for the weekend, continue to pray for the hearts that see lost people like God does. Continue to pray for open doors and evangelism. And I would add to that slightly, continue to pray for open doors and evangelism, but then also the boldness to share. And then pray for the lost people in your everyday area of influence. Like, and I'll tell people that, or I'll even ask them. I mean, that's a good one too. We didn't get into this one, but I asked, like, hey, how can I pray for you today? Like, how can I pray for you this weekend or whatever? Because there's a lot of folks that, like, those, the KGB guys stuck in prison or whatever it was, like, when there's, like, a glimmer of light, like how they're almost attracted to that gospel. So if you can give that glimmer of light. And then just a challenge for you, write out your testimony and share it with somebody this week. Suggest writing it out, so that way you know what you're going to say. And then make sure that you sort of think through it. That's just a good practice. Kind of like your elevator speech. And this has been really good for me, because I can try to sell a lot of other stuff, like how great my fantasy football team is or something like that. But, like, how much greater is the gospel? So when you're talking with people and responding and visiting with stuff. So it's just a challenge to be like, oh, I know this stuff really well, but what about God's grace in your own life? So just an encouragement for you this week. And even just share it with somebody in your small group or here at church after church. You can just go ask somebody. It would be great. So that's what I have for you. You have something?
I always have something. If you give a person a chance. Eladio, Brother Eladio was from Mexico. And just quickly in a nutshell, I like to apply, like medicine, if it's not applicable, it helps people, it's useless. It's head knowledge. You can read books, you can go, my MD, blah, blah, blah. It's useless. You don't got to know what you're doing with your art and science. Eladio was imprisoned in Mexico, and because he grew up, his father he didn't know, his mom was an alcoholic. He was sentenced to 17 years because of fighting and so on and so forth. He took a glass to kill the warden, not the warden, but the chaplain of the prison in Mexico. So he got saved, as he was, by clerical mistake, left out of prison, and he married his daughter. So fast forward, we were invited to Guadalajara, to the Mexican maximum security prison. I mean, I've been in prisons all over America, but this is, you've never seen anything like it. When the doors close behind you, you just feel like you are in H. I mean, it's like, whoa. So through divine providence of the Lord, chiropractic, I helped the warden, and he says, here's a translator, here's a guy with a machine gun, AK-47, he goes, take this guy anywhere he wants to go. I said, I want to go to the worst of the worst. He goes, you're crazy. Well, only blue-eyed blonde guy with my son Josh, he said, well, maybe we are. So we go. I shared 15 minutes with those people. They had tattoos on their heads, their eyes, and so on and so forth. This is the gospel story of the gospel. I just shared very minimal of what God did for me. And I just told those guys, I says, you're in prison, but you can be free in Christ. They wanted to know, what must we do to be saved? A bunch of those people came to Christ immediately, crying and weeping, and they wanted to touch me. So our testimony, what I'm trying to say, it does work, and I point them to Christ. Nobody takes a credit away from Christ. Without Christ, what are you going to tell? Mm-hmm. How you were a good boy, you were, you know, altar boy? No. But we need to apply the gospel in our share of faith with people. And that is a stepping stone, saying, how did you do that? Through Christ. And let me tell you about him. They have noticed because they have been with Jesus, Acts 17. Mm-hmm. Amen. I said too much, but it's good for people.
Thank you for sharing. Mr. Brad, if you can close us in prayer, then we'll...
And I think I'm two beans short.
Two beans short.
Oh, goodness.
I think it'd be a bean short of a polo.
Okay, Mr. Brett, can you close us in prayer?
Yes. Father, we just thank you for your love extended to us, Lord. You brought us all to you and drew us to you, and people were bold enough to share with us. May we be bold as we go into our community and share with others. In Christ's name.
Amen. Amen.